Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents How to Behave Badly in Elizabethan England, a guide for knaves, fools, harlots, cuckolds, drunkards, liars, thieves and braggarts, by Ruth Goodman, read by Jennifer M. Dixon. Introduction. Welcome to a century of bad behaviour. Forget the tales of the great and the good. This is a history of flawed and imperfect people, people whose misdemeanors lead us deeper into their world as they show us the way that they carved out a life for themselves and reveal some of the thoughts and feelings that made them tick. For behind the much-vaunted gloss of ruffs and shimmering silks, the deeply committed religious reformers, the political visionaries and the great literary figures of the years between 1550 and 1660, lurks the rest of humanity and human experience in all its grubby glory and tarnished glister. 16th and 17th century England was a place of vitality, experimentation, expanding horizons, and lots of small-minded, petty, badly-mannered, irritating and irreverent oiks, gulls, gallants, and harridans, and I love them all. Every age and every social stratum has its bad eggs, those who break the rules and rub everyone up the wrong way. People who behave like square pegs in round holes abound in history, just as much as in contemporary life. There are people who genuinely don't understand the social conventions of their day, who struggle to follow the subtleties and unwritten rules that govern daily life. And then there are those who deliberately and knowingly flout all codes of conduct. Sometimes the flouters act alone as rebellious individuals, ploughing their own furrow, like Mary Frith, who smoked, drank, swaggered, and wore men's breeches in public on a regular basis, both shocking and intriguing her fellow citizens. Sometimes people join together in their rule-breaking as an act of defiance and seek to forge their own separate group identity, like the idle, arrogant youths of the damned crew who drank, fought, and bullied their way around the capital, or the holier-than-thou, hotter sort of Protestants who irritated their neighbours, secure in their own sense of superiority. Some navigate their way around and between the rules for their own ends, and others are tossed into transgression by circumstances. The subversion of normal rules can have many causes and many motivations, but the rules are the rules. Societies in all times and all places are governed by intricate, overlapping codes of conduct. Some of these rules are both open and explicit in the manner of legal pronouncements or formal regulations. Others stem from religious beliefs and understandings that can have a more nebulous edge, sliding into the realms of unexplained taboo. Still more grow from allegedly factual interpretations of the world around us that designate certain behaviours right and natural, and others perverted and strange. Some have long lost their rationale entirely, but persist as part of widely held traditions, rules that demand obedience, because we have always done it like that. Many are implied or understood rather than formally spelt out, learnt from the reactions of family, neighbours, colleagues, enemies and friends. They cover every form of social interaction, from hanging out the washing in a communal yard to drinking with mates in the alehouse. The most socially aware and adept individuals can take all these interwoven and occasionally conflicting rules and turn them into a seamless performance of confidence and belonging, at least some of the time. For historically, just as now, many people struggled to pull it off, to behave perfectly at every encounter and in every situation. I have a sneaking sympathy for all of them, for the blithely clueless, bumbling through the disapproving looks, the acutely embarrassed who would conform if only they knew how, the deliberately curmudgeonly who defy.